Hi, welcome back to Eye to Eye, a weekly podcast talk show all about passion, flow, and creativity, where I talk to fellow creatives and learn how they take their dreams and turn it into their reality. So while the topics may change, the heart behind it remains the same. I'm your host, Aaron Holman, and my very special guest today is...
Hello, everybody. My name is Madeline Hatter.
Oh, the one, the only.
I'm from Dragula Season 3.
Well, I'm so happy that you were able to join us for our Eye to Eye podcast today, Madeline. It means a lot to me. Eye to eye. Like you said, you are known from being on Dragula Season 3, which was, I think, the most epic season of Dragula to date. I can't wait for more. You were born in Massachusetts and then became a staple in New York. Just to start things off, go ahead and tell our listeners your preferred pronouns, and then just describe yourself in your own words, your career, and who you are.
You can call me whatever you want. I don't care. I'm a creature, so it doesn't really matter. And then what's the other thing?
And then just describe your, who you are. Like, how do you introduce yourself?
I am a drag artist. I do literally everything from production to graphic design to styling wigs for other girls to costuming. However, I don't really sew for other people anymore because that's awful. But I went to school of visual arts here in New York, and like I've always been an artist, like visual artist. Mm.
What were you studying there?
I actually wanted to be a comic book artist. Yeah, I wanted to like pencil comics and like that, but lo and behold, I hated doing it after 5 years.
Yeah, but those skills transfer right into the makeup, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wish that I'd gotten into drag sooner. I feel like if anybody were ever to ask me if I had any regrets in life, the only thing that I would probably regret is not having like jumped into it earlier in life.
The first time that you did drag, and what was the reason behind doing it?
I wanted to do it because I was like watching other people doing it, and I knew that I could do it too because they weren't very good. it ended up just coming really naturally to me. Makeup, I've always been into makeup. I've always loved fashion. I've always loved like just movies and things that were like really grandiose and crazy, and like the club kid scene and all of that, and like Amanda Lepore and like, you know, like RuPaul. Mm-hmm. And like just like growing up and like sneaking away and like just like watching like adult television. Mm-hmm. And like just being super influenced by horror movies and like dark aesthetics and like, but like at the same time, like it was always, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, work. You might have, I don't know. Okay, Lords of Acid album cover had, they're like an electronic group from the 90s, 2000s. Mm-hmm. And one of their album covers was Amanda Lepore looking fucking sickening on the decks.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing her and being like, that's literally perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's like one of like, you know, like her and like Angelina Jolie and like Firefox.
Yeah.
And like Hackers and like, just like growing up on the Dark Crystal and stuff like that. Like that's all stuff that like influenced my mind into wanting to do things more creatively. I'm really bored with reality. So I like to take up my time with interesting things.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Does that make sense? Oh yeah. Reality is fucking boring. If the world were like as, I don't know, as basic as it like seems, I would be so fucking bored. I put magic and like mysticism into everything because I don't know, reality's fucking lame.
Facts. In a nutshell, like I grew up on like cartoons, like dark cartoons. Like, I don't know, like I suggest everybody watch like The Last Unicorn.
Oh yeah, that's a big one. Love
it's
that one.
Not as like, you know, it's not like a fun Goo Goo Gaga cartoon. Mm-hmm. You know, the art behind it, and just like all of that stuff. Like, it's not. They don't really pander to like a young audience with that shit. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had an affinity for edgier drag. One of my first jobs out of college was being a bartender at a male strip club, and like I just hung out with strippers most of the time.
Sounds great.
Right after school, right before Madeline happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of adopted like the stripper aesthetic into like what I did.
You do ooze sex.
I like you though. Like, I feel like there's something very powerful with that comes with sex.
Oh yeah.
And something very strong where like they're either really super awkward and like intimidated, or they're like, or they're just controlled by you visually. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I like to maintain that kind of like intimidation.
All eyes on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. Well, a big staple for you is your big red hair. The bigger, the better. I've heard a story about, I think there was these 7 wigs that you put together that ended up covered in cum from some sex parties.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is it about the red hair? Why is that the signature Madeline? How did that come about?
I'm not entirely sure. I just think that like when and I don't know, I don't really care about anybody else, but like when I put on red hair or like a warmer tone color, mm-hmm. it just is like, fuck, you know, just like, oh, bitch, mm-hmm. you know, like, there's things that like come, like that call to you when you're figuring out who you are as a drag artist or as like a persona per se.
That makes a lot of sense.
And like, when you get that, like, oh, fuck, like when you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, bitch. You know that like that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and when other people look at you and they go, bitch.
Ooh.
You know, like, and they know, so you both know. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how it came to be.
Madeline, I know that you've been doing drag, I think it's been 13 years now.
13.
You're a queen who started out on Halloween, right? For a competition, Drag Wars. Was that your first time in drag?
Yes, that was my first time. You pay attention, bitch. You get all the facts. Honey.
Yes,
you
ma'am. Well, I know that you fucking hate when people don't know their facts. So I made...
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I just made sure to be on top of it. So for the listeners of the podcast, please just... describe that experience. What is Drag Wars? Where was it? And did you win?
I won the first one, got placed in the finals, and then I didn't win the final. It was so long ago. It was like in this place in Northampton, Massachusetts. It used to be called Divas. Jujuvi actually started there too, mm-hmm. you know, from Drag Race. It used to be like Western Massachusetts actually used to be like a really fierce mm-hmm. gay community. Like, I mean, really fierce. Like, when I was growing up, like, it was actually really perfect for a young faggot to, like, grow up in because it was very, like, just cool. Like, just really, like, a lot of, like, artsy, hippie fags, like, coming from, like, all the mountains and shit. And it was just, like, and Northampton is, like, the West Village in the mountains. So it's like gorgeous and very chic, but like very hippie and progressive. And like, there's 5 all girls schools. So there's lots of like trans men.
Fierce.
And like, it's just like it's really sickening. So like growing up there was really, really like very cunt, but slowly but surely, like everybody just kind of moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just kind of like ended up just kind of like dissipating. It's so bizarre, the like migration of like queers out of that area. It's a little sad, but like I couldn't be there anymore. Growing up there was interesting. It wasn't terrible. It definitely made me a stronger person, but It wasn't awesome. It wasn't bad. It wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it is.
Yeah. But it's like, are you going to stay there and what? Crusade your whole life to stay make in it queer?
Massachusetts? Like, no. But like, I knew I was, you know, when you like, if you're self-aware enough to know, like, what you're capable of doing, like, you know that, like, you're not going to just stay in the same place that you grew up in. You just know, like, you have to go to bigger, better things. And I'm sorry, but, like, New York, like, has always been that bigger, better thing for me. It still is, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I've been here and been a successful.
Working. That is successful.
Working, that is successful. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Living my life, paying my rent, you know what I mean? Like, paying my bills as an artist in New York City. And I know that there's kids out there that dream their whole fucking every single day, all day, hiding in high schools all over the globe, wanting the life that I have. I know that. And I fought for it. It took me a long time to get to this comfortable space that I'm in. Like, my apartment's fierce, my career is fierce, like, I'm happy. And that's a lot for me to say, but like, I am happy. And like, Dragula has a big part of that. Dragula changed my life. Like, it made it like more stable.
How did the Dragula experience begin for you? Did you audition each of the previous seasons? The one time?
No, I never auditioned.
Oh, they called you?
They asked me to be on you.
Fucking right they did. I love that. And you were perfect for the cast. The second I saw you, you were who I was like most excited to see.
Yay. Yeah, it's funny looking back, like, I don't think, I like the story, I like what I did, like, personally, but I think everyone can agree that my looks could have been bigger. They just could have been all around bigger. And I've told the Boulets that, like, I'm like, I could have done more, but I also, like, are you ready? Like, I have, and they've asked me this, but I only watched Dragula for Victoria. On season 2. Yeah. Like, I only watched her floor shows. I never watched it.
And why is that?
Because Victoria's my daughter. You know that. But, like, I, like, Victoria's, like, that's my girl, you know? I'm getting my body done in December, and I'm staying with Victoria and Opulence for my recovery.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's going to be a match made in heaven. Like, that's going to be wonderful.
We're really, like, we've been super close for years and years and years. You know, she is my daughter. They both are my daughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have a very, very strong relationship. Like, we're really ride or die. Like, sometimes I get pissed because she doesn't call me enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I take, when I say that I'm your mom, like, I'm your fucking mom. Yeah. Like, that's a very real thing for me.
It extends way beyond just the drag.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if you need me, I'm fucking there, like, period. And, like, a lot of people think I'm, like, really aggressive because I am, but my relationships are everything to me. And if you're close to me and I let you get that close to me, like, that's, like, I'm in it 135,000,000%, you know? Like, it's, I'm really, like, when I love hard, you know?
Well, it's an interesting thing in the queer community, and then I imagine even in, like, the more niche drag community, loyalty is hard to come by.
Yeah, it's really hard. And, like, well, I mean, these days, like, bitches don't even try me anymore. Like, they just don't. They know better.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's great. Because, like, if I personally cancel a bitch, you just, like, I don't see you.
I understand.
Like, period. You know, like, it's on that. And
Yeah.
I am very like I could be standing next to you at the bar. And I will turn in your direction and look
and not see you.
Like, it's very that. And I won't be mean to you. I just literally will not exchange words with you. I will not breathe the same air as you. You will not see me unless I allow it. Like,
well, like, if you were still getting into, like, fights with someone, you know, like, anybody, if you, holding a grudge is not the end-all, be-all. No, I think unhealthy. Indifference is...
It's unhealthy. But, like, you don't have to get along with everybody either. And you don't,
no, you do
and
not.
You don't have to be friends with everybody. You do not. And a lot of people think that that's the case. And I'm sorry, but that's not the case. I don't have to like you. I don't have to like anyone. And for more times than not, I don't like people. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a homebody. You can ask my roommate. Like, I never leave. So it's like, she hates it.
It's like, what the fuck are you still in the house for?
Go somewhere.
You know, I'm not even going to lie. It's so interesting. I love connecting with people, but it's why I can do things like this, because I can't stand most people, because most people just end up sucking.
Yeah. It's very that. It's weird because, you know, I'm sober and working in a club and bar for most of my life.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been interesting. I just don't have a lot of patience for wasted people. So people get offended by me when I just like turn around and walk away. Like, I just literally will just be like, I'm gonna go talk to someone that is a little bit more coherent. Yeah. Like, I'll look at my phone and like, I'll be like, oh my God, I have to poop. And like, because nobody fucks with you if you've got to poop.
That's true. It's like, get out the way. Yeah. There's like,
everybody, oh my God, you got to poop? Go.
So one of the main things about this show is flow. I know that, I mean, the whole world has been turned upside down by COVID and this whole quarantine. And I know while you are a homebody, you have pivoted from touring to doing a whole plethora of other things. Mm. You've started doing very successful Twitch streams. I know that you started that with Eva and Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I believe that's called Banshee. And then you've also been doing wig styling for people.
Yeah.
Talk about both of those things, wherever you want to start.
Okay.
What is working in quarantine looking like for you?
Honestly, it's so funny because I just talked to my dad about this the other day. He, you know, my dad has been very like, what are you doing with your life? Like, my whole life. He's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Are you going to be okay? Like, are you going to be able to support yourself? Like, what are you doing? So like, with that being said, like, I've always had like a very strong focus on work and work ethic and taking care of myself and busting my ass so that, you know, I was homeless in New York City for 2 years, and it was really, really terrible. Like, there's no...
I can't imagine.
There's no other anxiety that I could ever quite... There's no words that could ever compare to that kind of constant sense of anxiety. And so I work really hard and all the time.
Yeah.
So that way I can ensure that I'm never in that position ever again. And I really I can't stress enough that like when the Boulets called and I did Dragula, like it has literally been like my saving grace because they made it so that I don't really have to worry because they opened me up to a whole community of people, whether they be like really cunt artists or like other drag queens or whatever. You just get respected based on what like you've been able to do on the show. And I like to think that I did really well. Even my meltdown like kind of put me there. Like for people,
it was really good TV.
It was really good TV. And like, it was actually like the first time that any reality show broke the fourth wall ever. And now if you watch other reality shows, now they're trying to accomplish the same thing. And it's kind of fascinating how that works out. But
But it was an organic like yours, so like it, you know,
it's
very see-through when it happens on other shows.
That's the thing is, I was really pissed that day. Like, I was mad.
You looked mad.
I was really mad. And it's really funny how it all just kind of, but the thing is, what's crazy is that it's like the Boulez way of being like, fuck you, bitch, to me. Because they edited it and put it in a way on the show where people understood me a little bit better. And the whole thing came about because I didn't trust them to edit me in a way that would be beneficial to me. The whole thing came about not because I was like, I had to do some stupid bullshit extermination, but it was because I was doing it again for reasons out of my control again. And I thought they were doing it on purpose at that point for editing to make a fucking fool of me. And I was like, you bitches are supposed to be my friends. And I didn't trust them. So like, that's why I flipped off the handle. But then like now knowing that like literally they only have the best intentions for me. Mm-hmm. And, like, we still text, like, we still talk, you know, like, we never lost touch. And, you know, I used to do...
That's so special.
And it really fucking is, because I performed for them at the Dragula parties before.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a TV show. Like, I've known...
I remember those.
Yeah, at Queen
I lived Kong. In Fresno for a short while. And so, like, those were huge parties.
Huge fucking parties. They were so sickening. And
unique.
So unique. Like, nobody else was doing shit like that. But, they were very highly curated. As you know, the Boulez have control issues. So it's like...
Yes. Bro. That's very apparent.
I love them, though. Like, they wouldn't be able to create a phenomenon and a subculture within a subculture without having... A certain crazy about you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a certain psychosis level.
I think they like to call it like a vision. You know?
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, a very clear, concise vision. So but they're doing it and they inspire people to be their authentic, true, and creepy fucked up selves and not feel weird about it. And it's like good. Like, I feel like Dragula has tapped into real artists, like drag artists. Like, I feel like there's drag queens that buy their things, and then there's drag artists that make their things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's like the girls on Dragula, I just feel like they have a higher sense of like creative responsibility.
100%. And it's always what I really loved about the show is that they made sure to tell you that drag is subjective. And so we're not here to judge, you know, what your drag is.
It's always a challenge at hand.
I thought that was honestly, that was like my favorite moment. Cause it was like, yes, each one of them is doing their drag. And it was so interesting because it allowed each artist to then only worry about topping themselves each week.
Yeah, and I wish that I'd like, because they gave us a considerable amount of time between challenges, and I really wish that I had understood that and like improved upon the things as I was going about it. But like, if there's ever a chance where like, I'm invited to do anything else in the future, like, it will be a very different scenario. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my drag, and just from being on the show and from having that experience, has grown so much in comparison to what it used to be. And my skill set is so much more broad. Mm-hmm. And what I'm capable of making and, like, doing that is just bigger. So I'm not... I don't know. I really, it's been cool. The whole thing's cool.
So talk about performing digitally you're okay. Talk about performing digitally versus doing it live.
Well, Banshee. I do Banshee, and then I do on Saturdays the Mad Hour. I'm not doing it this Saturday, though. I'm taking a break so I can work on more hair. But Banshee's amazing. It's different. I just performed live for the first time in 8 months, like, in a club with people.
How'd that feel?
So good. I'm definitely out of practice. It didn't suck as bad being in heels. I thought it was going to be a lot worse, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was anticipating to be. But it's fascinating because then I just did Banshee right after it, and I was like, so different. It's just so different. Me and Eva and Lou actually had a conversation about the differences and how, like, feeding off of the energy of the crowd and people watching you and reacting to you is just a completely different animal than having to feed off of your own energy and, like, keep yourself hyped, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really what it comes down to is that, like, not having people to be like, yes, bitch, you know, like, very, like, you know, like, you need to, it's hard to not have that, whereas, like, I don't know, I just projector, and you can have, like, all of these visuals and stuff, because I learned After Effects over quarantine to, like, make my projections, and it's just, like, it's, like, a visual thesis, if you will. Like,
you've learned a whole new set of skills, honestly, and perfected them on the fly.
On the fly. And you have to, though. That's the thing but I learned that from doing drag. I learned how to adapt to everything from doing drag.
That makes sense.
It is such a fucking hard thing to do. And if you don't roll with the punches, and if you don't fucking pick up what people are throwing at you, and just fucking going with it, you're literally not getting booked. Like, speaking of poop, I have to. I'll be right back.
Oh, perfect. With that, we'll take a quick break.
Okay. I'll be back.
I always, anytime anybody has to go to the bathroom, I always just, like, say good luck. Like, it's always just like, good luck.
I do this really awkward thing with my roommate when she's getting in the shower, and I'm like, make sure you hit all the things. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know. Just
don't leave anything dry. That's all I'm saying.
Make sure you get there. She's like, you're fucking weird. I'm like,
yeah. Well,
yeah. That is accurate.
All right, so we are here with Madeline Hatter. I could keep talking to you forever. There's so many things that I just want to pick your brain about.
Okay.
I would love to move on to wig styling, because I've seen you doing that a lot more. And we were talking before that it's always been a passion. You've always been very good at it, but you've had the time to devote to it.
Yeah.
I also know that you have a wig line. I would love to hear about these things.
Okay, well, I was developing a wig line beforehand. But COVID, and people don't understand, like, the nature of the business right now. So, everybody gets their hair from China, and currently China would send their wigs over to Korea to do the frontals, like the lace fronts. These are the frontals. But Korea and China aren't currently trading.
Shit. So wigs have come to a halt?
Yes.
New wigs
have come to a halt.
Shit.
So I had to go and constantly purchase new wigs while I was cranking out hair. So, like, I would have to buy in bulks of, like, 20 to 40 pieces in, like, have a stock. So now I've got, like, maybe, like, 200, 300 wigs in my apartment.
Damn.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's whatever. It's whatever. Like, what are you gonna do? It's, like, the world's falling apart. Like, whatever. So now I just crank out hair, and I like have gotten really, 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 really good at it because I've just been like trying new things like vintage styles and like braiding, and like I like big bitchy hair and like.
So how does the vision for a wig start out? Does the wig dictate a lot of it? Do you have complete control? How do you design it?
Well, I put a roller set in, and then from there it like kind of like becomes its own thing. But I also, like, I'll take commissions sometimes. I don't really like to because I don't really like to live up to other people's expectations. So, like, I get really nervous and scared because I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to hate it. And then, like, or, like, you're never going to be what they need you to be for them.
Yeah.
And it just sucks. Much like Dragula.
Oh my God. It's just like it's the continued fear.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm like back at filming, my PTSD kicks in. Shit, man, that was rough. We even had like these follow-up conversations, and like they were like, I just feel like you're always missing one thing. And I'm like,
rude.
No, it's fine. And I was like, yeah, but I also think like you've created this expectation for what you want from me, and I can't read your fucking mind. So
there it is.
I'm like, so I guess we can just agree on the fact that you'll always be disappointed in what I'm doing, and I'm just gonna enjoy myself. They're like, oh, okay. So
that is hilarious.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation to have. But yeah, so wigs are good. People have been really into them. I've been really just enjoying it because I work from home, you know, and that's a luxury.
It is.
That's a fucking luxury. Like, I'm very, very grateful to be able to do this, and like I pay my rent, I pay my bills, and people are looking sickening because I put some fucking sick ass hair on their head. So
that is amazing. Yeah. Before we move into the final section of things, go ahead and drop your social media. So if anybody wants to grab one of those wigs or find you, follow your art, they can.
Yeah. Everything is under The Only Mad, which is THEONLYMADD, The Only Mad. On Twitch, my channel is The Only Mad. Instagram is The Only Mad. Twitter is The Only Mad. Facebook is The Only Mad. My Gmail is The Only Mad. So, like, you can find me on all of those things all the time. I'm very accessible. Don't be weird, and we'll be fine. Like,
that is a perfect rule of thumb, you know. Don't be weird. We'll be fine.
It's so annoying. Don't.
What is one of the weirder things that somebody's done to try to connect?
They like start. Well, one, children.
No.
Like 12, 13-year-olds will start messaging me about their day.
It's not interesting.
I am a 38-year-old man. Get the fuck away from me, you weird fucking child. Go talk to your parents. They're younger than me. Stop it. You're weird. Get away from me, children. I hate children. I hate that. That's weird.
I love it.
That's weird. Also, like, there needs to be, like, parents suck. I don't know why. I'm like this has been literally a thing. Like, kids with phones should not be allowed. Mm-hmm. I grew up, I didn't have my first cell phone until I was 19 years old.
Wow, I was 16. My mom waited until I was 16.
Yeah, see, I don't think that, like, no, I don't, no.
Yeah, for me, I don't think any earlier than 16. And the only reason I had that was I was doing, you know, theater after school. So I just needed to be able to call her.
Right. And like, I don't know, like social media, like they just know too much.
Mm-hmm.
They know too much. And
yeah, and it's built for, have you seen that documentary on Netflix, The Social Dilemma? Have you watched that?
I was gonna bring it up. It is so on. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It was terrifying. And what gets me about it is like, you know, it's not built for communication alone. That's what we think of it as. But, you know, honestly, the fact that it's built for deceit, it's built to sell us things. And like, that's how kids are learning how to communicate. That was what like blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I feel like when it was first designed, it was made to like make people connect. But now I just think it's taken a very, very hard right hook into something, yeah, into another area. I think that Facebook should be shut down, period.
I agree.
I don't think that Facebook should exist. Like, I don't.
We don't need it anymore. It's, at this point, it's a monster that only needs to be stopped, you yeah know, like.
I don't think there's any positive to it. Even, like, as a drag queen, like, I think social media has hurt drag in a way that I don't think a lot of people understand, because now you're required to post and promote your shows, and like it's kind of counterproductive to an extent, because artists shouldn't have to be promoters too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I'm tired of getting on the internet and everything that I turn on is selling me something or convincing me of something.
And you
or
have
like,
to take part in that, and it sucks.
I hate it.
Yeah.
And that's from somebody who's not even a drag artist, not having to put themselves as the thing. You know, I can't imagine what that does to the psyche.
And then people will just like not show up because you're posting all the time. Like, it's wild. So like, I don't really post like flyers anymore, really, except for like Banshee, but that's because it's Banshee. Like, when things open, like, I don't even know. I think I want to keep like maybe like two shows, like have like two live shows, but then stick with the hair and Banshee and that hour. Like, I don't really,
smart.
I don't really want to do live stuff too much. Mm-hmm. So like connect with the kids, you know, like, and like be around.
Keep them on their fucking Instagram away from me.
Yeah. Like, just, I don't know.
Well, you're touching on something that I was curious about, which is, what does the future look like for Madeline Hatter? You've already described a little bit of it there, what your ideal would look like. Something else that I knew you had floated around before is your own idea of like owning a venue. Mm. Is that still of interest to you?
Very much. Very, very much. Mm-hmm. I would love to open a show space in Brooklyn. That is something that I very much want to do. That is something that has always been a dream of mine, being like kind of like owning a building and like having investors, but they're all silent.
Yes, please.
Like, don't talk to me. And just let me make this a wild success kind of a thing, and like have it be like, just be like a madam.
Oh, I love it.
You know what I mean? And have it be very like, like just like the drag version of like a modern day Moulin Rouge kind of a scenario.
Oh my God, I love it.
I know, right? And like,
take me to there.
And like in Brooklyn, like that's totally doable. Like Brooklyn, anything is possible. It really is. And I love Brooklyn. Like, love.
And I know that they love you. I think that as long as you keep on the track with it, I believe in your ability to make that happen.
Well, I've been able to accomplish everything that I've set out to do.
There you go.
You know, in life, I've done it. And, you know, I'm getting my, one of the, it's always been like a thing. So like, I did Dragula, I got on TV, did that. That's great. Started my wig business, did that. I am paying my bills, I'm comfortable, did that. Now I'm getting my body done, check. December happens, after that, it's real estate, and a club.
There you go.
That's next.
Bitch, that's amazing.
So, yeah, those are like the goals set in place to do the things. And like, I have wealthy friends that I know trust in my abilities. So like, it's like a very real possibility. Mm-hmm.
It's just all in its own time. And then, you know, fucking COVID just fucked everything up in terms of like progression forward.
Yeah. I also think that a lot of people did progress forward though. I know that I paid off my Dragula debt during quarantine. So like,
there you go. Damn. Yeah.
Like people have been able to be successful if they adapted to what the fuck's going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you keep your head in the game, like you can get it fucking done.
You heard it here. That's good advice.
That's it.
All right. So we're going to move into our final section of things. Just a section I like to call Passions Lately.
Oh.
This is super simple, Madeline. What have you specifically been passionate about lately? And it can be anything.
Halloween.
Yes. Perfect.
I also like review things, like movies and things.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, because I watch a lot of shit while I do my hair.
So like, that makes sense.
My like side little hobby thing that I like to do is like post about what like sucks and what doesn't, like as far awesome. As like movies and things. So that's been fun. Like those, like watching stuff and like reviewing it on like Banshee. It's like a segment of Banshee is like, I go over like different like movies and like cartoons and different sources of media that are coming up that I find entertaining and that I like. And people pay attention to like what I say now. Like I'll post it on Facebook and people would be like, oh my God, I'm so glad you recommended this. And I'm like, yeah. And
that is awesome.
It's fun. It's just like another way to connect.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. My friend Zach and I, we actually just started another podcast and it's called Two Gays Watch a Movie. And that's all we do.
Word.
We just watch a movie and then we talk about that shit. And, you know, we've done Clueless, Devil Wears Prada. Yesterday, we just recorded our Hereditary episode because mm-hmm. That movie is fierce.
We died the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really, and that was great. She's really sweet, that little girl. She's really
mm-hmm.
Millie. She's really,
yeah.
She's so, such a sweetheart.
Yeah, it's absolutely an incredible, incredible piece. And yeah, we're just going to move into our final question for the pod. What's the most recent thing that has made you purely happy?
Making money.
Fierce answer. I love that. That should be everybody's answer.
No, it shouldn't, but it is the answer for me.
Listen,
making money and not having to stress about my like finances,
well-being,
like mm-hmm. and like being able to pay my rent. That's nice.
That's huge. Yeah, that's something to be happy
like
about.
When I sell like 3 wigs in a day, and I'm like. Mm-hmm. Bitch, but that's it, you know? That mm-hmm. makes me happy. Not having the fear of not having a roof over my head. That makes me happy.
Well, congratulations. Like I said, you were like one of the hardest working queens I've ever seen. And, you know, keep it going. Keep it pumping, queen.
I will. And it's like hair, you can keep doing wigs until the day you die, you know?
I've been thinking about buying one for my partner because he's been doing his own, like I said, but he hasn't invested in like a styled one from anybody yet.
Cute.
And like I'm definitely thinking yours.
Yeah, let me know. I mean, I'm literally like waist deep in.
Yeah, I know, you said you had like 200 300 wigs. Like,
I'm
what
looking
the
at them
fuck?
Right now.
I love
like a
it.
A giant pile in the corner of my living room.
Well, I'll help at least get one out
there
of there. Thank you so much for joining me on Eye to Eye today, Madeline Hatter. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Just link me when it comes out so I can post it everywhere.
I will. I'm pretty sure it's going to be like October 30th. It's going to be like the week of Halloween.
Am I your Halloween person?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
There was nobody else that like could have possibly been the Halloween person.
Oh, thanks, bud. That's great. I love that.
I'm serious. Also, this is just like, I don't know if you remember, this is where we met. You came to Pasco back when you came into her show, and then you did My Mind by Yeba that night.
Yeah.
And bitch, I was there. We hung out that evening. Yeah. And I just like, you're fucking fierce.
That's
and
I've loved you. So familiar. I've been like staring at your face and I'm like, where do I know this faggot? So far.
Yeah, we met each other.
Yeah, that was like a really special moment too, because it was just like it was an audience that I'd never performed for before.
Yeah. And like, fucking Pasco. What?
Yeah. And it was just really like, and I was just like out of nowhere, I just like ran up into the DJ booth and I was like, I want to do this.
It was fierce.
Okay. And I was like, okay, great. And it was really nice. It was nice.
I like lost my shit when you did that, because like, I swear to God, that song means so much to me personally, because like, I mean, have you heard it? Of course you have. You have.
Yeah.
Maybe the listeners haven't. And I remember right before you performed it, you were up there, you were talking about the experience that you were having. And then you were like, and I wanted to bring a little bit of home to you.
Yeah.
That was why you chose that song. And it just like, I lost my shit when you performed it.
Yeah, it's like one of like the numbers that I love to do here. And people really resonate with it, you know?
Oh, it's fucking powerful. The song and then the performance as well. You hit every fucking note. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
And with that, we are just going to head out of here. Thank you, listeners, for joining us today. Now go outside. We'll be here and gayer when you get back.
Yeah.
This episode of Eye to Eye was edited by Dylan Newman and the theme song written and performed by Emily Easley. Make sure to rate and subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy podcasts today.